Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
And I thought overall the efficiency of the quarterbacking was good. I'm proud of that, you know, because they're all, none of them played in the game. They're all still learning. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good that way. There's some good running, some good plays, some turnovers made by the defense. It was just kind of, I liked it because it was efficient looking football.
You know what? We kind of feel that way. Spring game 2017 in the books. Welcome to it, a Monday edition of Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is going to be in Wednesday. We have secured, well, an amazingly big show. Not only with the guests we have, but who we got riding shotgun today of HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Brandon L. Vogel. You hear Vogues a lot. He doesn't turn me down because he's really sympathetic, but he's in studio and there's no shock collar. There's no blow dart. There's nothing. He came here on his own. We got another recruiting expert in that's just observing today. He's like, just don't bother me, Schmidt. So we'll let that secret play throughout your mind. TJ Henning, 18 hours of yard work today. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, a lot.
TJ walks in, wipes his brow. Hey, guys.
A lot of sweat.
It's okay. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yard work's important. Recruiting, extremely important. Friday night, you had Buki Radley-Hiles make his commitment. We will have a chat with him in 15 minutes as he is a linchpin guy for Nebraska's class. But just a really impressive young man. We'll have that discussion. Buki Radley-Hiles at 4:25 here on Hale Varsity Radio Hour 1. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. 1 hour from now, we'll get coach's thoughts on the spring game and the defense moving forward. Aaron Sorensen going to join us and recap the recruiting weekend. And you can dial us up today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line if you so like. Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House allows you to do that. We're on Twitter at Hale Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Brandon L. Vogel, and at TJ underscore Henning. Okay, let's dive into it. Oh, otherwise, real quick note to Manny Allen.
He has weight training at the time we were desiring him, so we might push it back to tomorrow.
Okay, so Manny Allen wideout tomorrow. TJ, you're a good man. Okay. So, yeah, we'll get you caught up with the recruits. Vogues, what stuck out?
Well, between the promised rain that stayed away, the recruiting returns so far with more, mm-hmm. possibly, very possibly, on the way, and the great day for the quarterbacks, I don't think you could have engineered a better spring game. And that's a conscious word choice there. I do feel it was a little bit engineered. It's tough to come away with too many takes on the defense. But as far as offensive day, saw a lot of points. Pretty fun day, and the weather cooperated.
Weather was good. It was kind of a celebratory atmosphere. And this thing was set up for no failure. That's fine. Let's get into to what you wanted out of Saturday. You wanted optimism. You wanted to feel good about your Huskers. You wanted to feel good about the quarterback. You wanted to feel good about the run game. You wanted to feel good about a lot of things. You wanted to feel great about recruiting. Check, 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 yes. There was nothing wrong. There was no way you were going to puke on yourself Saturday. I mean, maybe you did on the way into the stadium or after partying too much. Halftime when you snuck out to the old car lot. That happened because of the weather. I mean, people were getting it going. People were getting it going before the game and halftime afterwards. And if you went to Sunrise Service Sunday, you needed a lot of Advil, some of you. But from a display standpoint, there was nothing that was going to go wrong with Mike Riley Saturday. It was perfect. It was set up for the recruits to be cheered. They were. The quarterbacks showed their moxie. That's specifically number 14. And defensively, oh well, you ran a 4-2. I'm not worried about it. We'll dive into that some more.
Yeah, not worried about the defense either. And, you know, it makes sense. If spring games become, and they've always been this to a certain degree.
Make it a show, baby.
But if they, yes, if they become huge recruiting events, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit later in terms of what Mike Riley has done with that. But a chance for Husker fans to show up at the stadium, it feels a little bit mostly like a game day, I would say, with no pressure. And your real goal is to put on as good a show as possible to get as many recruits to your class next in the next year and the class after that. That's perfectly fine. I think everyone knows that's what they're signing up for, and everybody's perfectly happy with that.
It is a final practice. Go out with a bang. Make everyone happy. Have that good vibe, that good buzz going as you head off into the sunset until football comes back in August. The 3-4, the reasoning, here's Coach Riley on why 14 practices you saw it, but not number 15.
You know, this game now, with being on TV like it is, just becomes another evaluation scouting tool for all of our opponents next year. So there was no way we wanted to do anything that was out of the box at all. And we certainly didn't want them to see what blitzes, all the different fronts, all the stuff that we practiced all spring. I don't want that on tape for somebody. So this was a pre-planned deal. And I'm kind of sorry to have to say that, but that's the way it is. And that's a really smart thing, I think, to do.
Keep them guessing. You have Oregon week two, period. End of discussion. Listen, what would have soured your Saturday? Injury, if your offense gave up 37 sacks against a 3-4, or if your offense gave up a lot of 37-yard big plays. Okay, there are things that could have derailed your mojo on Saturday. Keep that from happening. Put it on the shelf and make this a celebration and a showcase. And that's what Nebraska did. Okay, let's talk optimism here. With the grain of salt included in this discussion, do you feel good about going into the offseason? Do you feel better knowing that it was a four-man front, knowing that you couldn't blitz, knowing that, okay, it really was set up for the ones and twos to smoke the threes, fours, fives, and sixes? Knowing what you know, you still feel pretty good with what you saw.
I don't know. I don't know if good's the right word for me yet, but I feel a little bit better than I did probably going in. You know, we talked a lot about the idea of quarterback fit, really as soon as last season ended, and maybe even before that. But I think on Saturday you saw a little bit of what it can mean for this offense, and I also think you saw that Nebraska has three quarterbacks that could legitimately run this thing now. Which that's enviable quarterback depth. It's hard to keep that amount of depth on the roster in today's college football. But Nebraska has it right now. And it's just kind of how this offense is constructed is around a quarterback that's able to do those sorts of things. They've got some options there in terms of that. So that box, which was mostly theoretical for me coming in, has now been checked.
Yeah, spring game for me, I don't take away too much from it. But what stuff I did take away from watching the record version of it, the quarterbacks, like you mentioned, Vogues, excited to see those guys, feel comfortable with any three of those guys, honestly, if they have to go out there. And then the utilization.
Against a 4-2.
Yeah. And then the utilization of the tight end. I remember when I, 2 years ago, when Riley first got here, I did an in-depth thing looking at Riley's last 3 years at Oregon State compared to Bo's last 3 years in Nebraska and just the vast difference there was at using the tight end. And you saw it in that spring game. The tight end is finally going to be utilized here again.
Seathan was impressed with the tight end's usage this weekend.
Well, anyway, but I think that's an important point as it pertains to this offense is, you know, Seathan had all the measurables.
Yeah.
He looked the
Seathan
part.
Wants to go back to school.
Yeah, he really does. You don't have that sort of physical specimen on the roster at tight end, but nobody thinks you're going to have any issues at tight end. You think you've got enough guys who can catch the ball there. What's it tell you? That, well, this offense is really good at getting tight ends open. It goes back to that sort of construction thing. And when you create routes, you design them to put defenders in conflict a couple different ways. Well, if you can only get through 1.5 reads, you're leaving 1.5 on a table. Nebraska looks like a team going into 2017 that can be able to use those third and fourth.
See, and that's back to the optimism theme. That's what I'm most optimistic about. Will Nebraska face defenses that, really stress the offense? Absolutely. It's not going to be a walk in the park. There's some games on this 17 schedule that it'll be a stretch to get 17 to 20 points. Okay, it just will, unless things all really come together and there's no injuries and it starts clicking, which can happen too. But here and now, what makes me most optimistic about this team is, look, I have pretty good faith that the defense will find a way schematically to keep Nebraska in games. I believe that philosophically guys will buy in much quicker and won't have a confidence lapse if things do go wrong. They'll get coached up. They'll be okay. So defensively, they'll find a way. It'll be okay. Offensively, there is too many options with 4 seconds per play to not move the chains. And that is, even if your run game's milk carton or you choose to abandon it in the name of the throw, not ideal, but you're not going to have choices at quarterback that'll put you in tough spots if you are one-dimensional throwing it. They're not always going to be perfect, but they know where they need to go with the football. They know to study to know where they need to go with the football. And I don't think we can talk enough about just the transition that, and back to your story, the fit the quarterback will allow this offense. Listen, this isn't pinata time for Tommy Armstrong. God love him. A lot of starts. Gave his heart and soul to the program. Very talented guy with what his fit was. Well, he and Riles had to coexist with each other's strengths, okay? And now you saw guys at quarterback that are a strength with this matchup in the offense. And that means that they'll find the running back 8 times in a spring game. That means they'll find the tight end and target the tight end 15 times. That means they'll find guys like Stanley and DPE and whoever else steps up. The potential for the offense is exciting. And that's my biggest takeaway. My biggest reason for optimism is the O-line kind of need to kick it in the ass. Yes, they know that. They tell that. I sense urgency abundantly with Coach Kavanaugh and his guys. But they're trying. They got a whole offseason to work. Maybe they'll be better. Maybe they'll get a little bit nastier. Maybe they'll refine their mojo confidence-wise. But above all, my optimism is high because of what you got with this offense and how it can work. I don't know what to compare it to. Well, okay. I don't know how you guys are doing with investments, but right now, if you get your quarterly report on any investments you have, despite where you're at politically, things are going okay investment-wise. Market's going fine. It's just making money for you. You're doing nothing except just existing and contributing. It's not always going to be that way, but that's how the climate is right now. That's what this offense is. It's going to make money for you just by kind of just doing the very minimal. And that's check down. That's tight end. That's making a smart throw.
Invest conservatively. Gamble occasionally.
Thank you. EF.
Well, you know, back to the quarterbacks. You mentioned Tommy. I don't even know if it's necessarily an ability thing as much as a training thing. You look at Tanner Lee. He went to the Manning Passing Academy for the first time when he was in high school. Patrick O'Brien worked with friend of the program, Steve Calhoun. Mm-hmm. Jebbia had a similar upbringing. You know, being able to get through progressions and know where to go to the
starts
ball
when you're 14.
And make those decisions starts really early. Tommy Armstrong wasn't asked to run an offense like that in high school.
So. No, I mean, it might have been pro style, but it was, let's hand off to the number one tailback in the country before they went to his senior year as a shotgun guy. And absolutely, your job in a spread offense is to gash the offense, make some yards, and then get up and snap the damn thing extremely quickly. So it's a one read, maybe two, let it fly.
Yeah.
It's how have you been groomed?
Right.
Is what it really comes down to.
I don't know about you. I didn't take much from the run game on Saturday. Like, you know, you had some...
What I took away from the run game is you can say a lot of things about, oh, there's Bryant, oh, there's Wilbon. When push comes to shove, I still think Ziggy's trusted. Ziggy's going to put his head down. make some runs, finish off a run, catch a football, dive for a first down. Ziggy is kind of a gamer. Divino Zigbo is a gamer. He's done it. This is junior year for him. And push comes to shove, I think they'll believe in him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I thought all of the three primary backs did some good things, and you saw it in spurts. Wyatt Mazur was obviously, you know.
Yeah, the Superman cape.
The fan favorite from the day. And, I mean, he legitimately looked like a guy who can contribute for you and help your football team. That's still going to be really key. In fact, it might be the biggest question for me going into 2017, even with all of the good things we just said about quarterbacks and passing offense. But got to be able to run the ball. But I know people always say this, but when you're doing a three-step drop and those swing passes, I mean, how many receptions is the running backs have?
Seven.
Yeah, I mean, those things, you really saw it on Saturday, how much they do look like running plays when you have a quarterback who knows and who can deliver the ball right on time.
Well, look at Wilbon's touchdown catch. I mean, it was... You emptied everything out. Obviously, contain was not a priority defensively that play. But it was wide open. You cleared it out. It was a swing pass. It's a throw any of us in the room could have made. But the design was pretty good. It was wide open for 9 yards and a touchdown. Those are our quick thoughts on the spring game. We'll dive into Riley Bucci, Radley Hiles next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with one of the top players in 2018, verbally committing to Nebraska, Brendan Radley Hiles, with us on the show. Bucci, good to speak with you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. So I gotta ask this first before we get into your weekend. How good a pool player is Coach Riley?
Coach Riley and Ms. Deer, both great pool players.
So was it best ball type deal? How did it work out? Because I know after the press conference, he's like, all right, Bucci, let's go play some pool. How'd that game shake out?
We played about 4 games, and I was calling out certain pockets where they should shoot at.
There you go. I like that. That's good, man. Well, good for you. So take me through this weekend. Not the first time you've been to Nebraska, but you decided to make your verbal commitment to Nebraska and soaking it all in. How was the weekend? Take me through the events this weekend.
It couldn't have been better. This weekend was great. It was phenomenal. You know, I came in with the mindset of this is the state, this is the city I want to be in, this is who I want to represent. So really, it was a no-brainer. When I told my mom about it and I told my brother, because the initial plan was actually going to commit during the game, but then we just couldn't hold it in. My mom was like, no, I want you to do it the night before. So everything just planned out fine, and we were all for it. So I showed Coach Riley, you know, maybe about an hour or two before, because I was planning on doing it at 7 o'clock. And so I showed him around 5, and we were all in the office, you know, and it was a very emotional moment for all of us. You know, my mom, you know, it was a great experience, you know, basically to see how proud she was of me, you know. So I kind of shed a few tears myself, but it was a great experience.
Were you pretty pleased with how the video turned out?
Oh yeah, I had the video now for about I would say I got it maybe Tuesday.
Okay.
And I arrived in Lincoln on Thursday.
So you had it. You knew this is where you wanted to be. Let's spend a minute or two on your mom and your brother, those with you helping make this decision. Kind of speak, if you can, about the process with it.
To be completely honest with you, sir, I knew where I was going last spring game. You know, me and Coach Riley, when we first met each other, it was phenomenal. It was just a great experience altogether. So I would say my brother just basically gave me the numbers, and he told me that the Big Ten, you know, and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the SEC, we basically broke down the numbers and made sure that, you know, this is the place for me, you know, being a corner, an undersized corner, that being. And also we looked at the different statistics as well for guys of my, I guess you could say, of my height difference, I guess you could say, because I'm not really, like, tall at all. So, but they, the time being, it was an easy decision. Really, this is where I wanted to be.
What was it about Coach Riley that was so easy to connect with?
Coach Riley, he's the coach I wanted to play for. I mean, there's certain guys that you just want to be able to say that you played for. Like growing up, I my brother coached me, you know, for numerous years, and I can like look over to the sideline and I can trust that he was going to set me up so that I can give my all, and I feel like I can lay it all for my brother. And when I put Coach Riley in those shoes, I feel as if I would get the same exact feeling, you know, and I know so. So he's a guy that I'm going to give my all for as soon as I touch down.
Buki Radley-Hiles with us. Few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. What's your reaction to the fans' reaction, not just Friday, but through the weekend?
it was amazing. The fans are, you can't even call them fans. They're family to me now. So it was great. You know, it's they're like no other. It's when people say there's literally nothing like Nebraska, they're saying that from a literal standpoint. It's like there's literally nothing like Nebraska, and the fans or the family is. It's incredible.
Rumor has it you signed a baby Saturday.
I did. I couldn't believe it. So when it happened again, my mom saw it this time. So she kind of didn't believe me last year. And when it happened again, she couldn't believe her eyes. It was crazy.
Buki, you cut out there. Did a Nebraska fan roll up with their new board and say, "Hey, I need a signature"? Is that how it went down?
How it went down was I was standing around the 30-yard line, and he came up to me with his child in his hands, and his wife was sitting there with him, and she had a camera in her hand. So I thought that we were going to take a picture, and then so when I went to like basically greet the man, see how he was, how was his day going, you know, and I was going to compliment him on his jersey he had on. He asked me if I could sign, and I was like looking around for maybe a card or a poster or maybe his shirt or something like that, and then he like raised the child at me. So it was kind of so I like looked at my mom, and my mom was like, "Whoa." I told her about it last year, what happened. And she didn't believe me. So when she saw it happen again, and she's like, she couldn't believe it at all. My brother like shook his head. He was like, "Whoa! Like this is like another level."
So this is the second baby you've signed, apparently.
This is the second one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Nebraska. And you mentioned earlier that you did some analytics with the different conferences, your fit, your body type, overall here. With Nebraska, the defense they're moving into, how does that excite you?
It excites me a lot because Coach Diaco, he has a plan. You know, he is the guy. He's a guy that he doesn't just as you can say, you know, he doesn't just play on the run and just figure it out. He maps out and scripts out what he wants, and he makes sure the terminology and makes sure that all his players execute it the way that it's supposed to be ran. The players can buy into exactly what he says, what he preaches, and what he says, because he makes the most sense out of every defensive coordinator I've ever met. Like I got to just listen in to some stuff like that, and I could look at it, and the concepts are pretty not they were pretty original.
When you are able to understand the terminology, does it give you pretty good confidence that you can go out and execute it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm very confident in the fact that I can come in and with great a great work ethic to basically come in and be disciplined enough to stay focused and learn my playbook. You know, because the guys who I've seen come in like recently, you know, one of my best friends, Tristan. You know, he stays late nights. You know, he's making sure that he executes his plan and he's in the playbook nonstop.
He looked pretty awesome Saturday, didn't he?
Oh yeah, Tristan looked great. You know, he did. He looked phenomenal. I was so proud of him.
You got a lot of Calabasas buds, Keyshawn Jr., of course, Tristan, guys that are from the West Coast now at Nebraska. From a peer recruiting standpoint, what do you feel like your responsibility is, or do you feel a responsibility?
I couldn't say I feel responsible for any sort because I was introduced to Nebraska football by those guys. You know, so I would just say they semi passed the torch to me. You know, for this class, they introduced it to me and they didn't give me any type of pressure of any sort. I took over basically what they left off.
Where do you get your competitiveness and work ethic from? I mean, where did that start? How did that develop?
I would say from a young age, my brothers and I, my closest brother to me, he's actually 7 years older than me. He's always would like try to beat him in any type of sort of way, whether it was, you know, finishing our homework on time or dressed for school, who can get dressed for school first or who can run the most gassers after practice without getting tired. Like everything we did was always a contest. So I would say growing up to consistent competitiveness basically instilled it in me, basically made my work ethic into what it is today.
Bookie Radley Hiles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What do you think of IMG? You transferred there in January. Give folks a glimpse into kind of what your day-to-day is like.
My day-to-day, from a personal level, is I wake up in the morning around, I would say, around 4:45, and my roommate and I, TJ Pledger, we go lift in the mornings before school. We go to breakfast, and then after we eat breakfast, we go to school. After we go to school, we have an hour before practice or lift, and then after that, we have a tutoring session after our sport, and then we have a recovery, and then basically finish up our homework, and then we're basically lights out with dinner after our tutoring session.
So a full day is slammed in. It's extremely disciplined to be there. The competition level that is there, the kids you get to practice with and against, do you feel like that gets you prepped for the next level?
Exactly. I feel that way a lot. You know, to be at IMG, you have to be, you know, very disciplined about this because about your craft specifically because it's not for everybody. Well, IMG is not specifically for anybody or for everybody. So if you come here, you have to be you have to work very diligently. You have to this has to you know your sport has to be your life. So it's really what you want. You put in the work, and the coaches basically just lay down the platform for you, and you make it happen. So it's on you whether you succeed or not. But really, it's just all, as I said, it's on you.
Bookie Radley Hiles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What type of leadership skills do you think you have?
I would say my leadership skills that I have are basically I like to do it first. I like to lead by example, and then after I did it multiple times, I could show basically a person, you know, next in line. Like we've had before, or like we had this weekend, we had a 2019 corner who is actually from my hometown as well. You know, and I got to speak to him about what Nebraska is and how many times I've been here. Like, I could tell him about my experience here and just stuff like that. Like, I like to do it maybe once or twice or three times before I basically, you know, teach it or try to preach it to anybody else.
Bookie, lastly, I want to talk to you about Coach Tenneper, a legend at Nebraska, passed away, but you had a chance to speak with him with one of your trips. What do you remember about Coach Tenneper?
That was a special moment in my life that I'll remember forever. You know, I was walking past him, you know, and I kept looking at him because he looked so familiar in a sense, and I didn't know who he was at first, and then it, like, clicked to me, and I just walked up to him, and I spoke to him, I introduced myself. You know, he looked at me, and he was telling me that he had saw me sign a few autographs with Coach Riley earlier, and he basically was telling me how these fans want you here. They love you here, and I should give them what they want. So that's what I did.
Bookie Radley Hiles with us. Thanks for your time today. We'll catch up again soon, and best of luck to you.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good stuff from Bookie. We'll talk recruiting, that vision, that plan, as Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jay Moore back in Wednesday. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine in studio. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Brandon Vogel. Big thanks to Bookie for his time. Very insightful conversation with him on the fact that, yeah, I knew I'm coming here for a year. Video was already done. I signed two babies. one Saturday, won the previous spring game. And he feels good about Diaco. Loves the energy, impressed by the quarterbacks. And he is set and ready to go. And he kind of gave you a look-see into the IMG experience. I mean, listen, let's stay there for a second with Nebraska's focus on that was one of the three tiers, right? They want Texas, they want Calabrasca, they want the state of Missouri. So I'm adding a fourth tier, but IMG is a prime focus. The first IMG kid Nebraska got was Bando, and Harbaugh started that run on IMG a year ago this time when he went and did the old field trip, spring break trip down at the academy. You're getting high-level players. You're getting guys that are going against other high-level prospects, and it's all they focus on. So you're getting a higher level and a more developed player to come into your program to compete for a position of need and just kind of raise your level up. It's really a no-brainer to make that shift. We've spent some time talking about this, but it's different than AAU basketball in the sense is, okay, come look at me, showcase me, AAU program or Oak Hill Academy. It's, I want to go up against the best, perfect my craft at IMG against other elite programs. I mean, O'Gorman's like that, Calabasas like that, and IMG, and I'm missing probably a couple programs in Texas, but you get my point.
Yeah, you know, and college football is catching up to high school basketball a little bit. And that it's becoming slightly more of a national sport. And I think it's getting closer to that. You see 6, 7, 8 games that the weekend before ESPN can run college football games, they'll put on high school games. You know, you're familiar with more of these names, the Don Boscos, Bishop Gormans.
Apopka. Schools
like that sort of resonate now, I think, with more college football fans than they ever would have previously, just because, well, the expansion of recruiting coverage probably did a lot of that. But, you know, things like the USA Today rankings, which go back a ways, they just seem to be out there a little bit more. So, and with just the way travel is, it's not as split up and secularized as it used to be. So we're getting to that point with football recruiting that I think it will start to feel a little bit more like basketball eventually.
It is. And you're getting high level of guys, you're getting skill work, and you're getting more college ready. Kids want to play early. They want to contribute early. Well, what are they bringing to you as a program early? Let's talk a little bit about Nebraska's recruiting weekend. Aaron Sorensen in 1 hour to give us a rundown. If you missed it, can log on hailvarsity.com or go to iTunes or the ESPN 1480 app for our Buki interview. Tomorrow we are efforting, and it looks like TJ is locked down Manny Allen, so we'll get caught up with him. But Riley was able to share a bit about his vision, his excitement, and the recruitment post-game. And so we started talking to Buki about was, as Riley left the interview room Saturday, he's like, all right, Buki, let's go play some more pool. And said that as he walked by us in the back. And I got the biggest kick out of that. He had his arm around the kid. Said, let's go play some pool. Reminded me of, I mean, my grandpa used different terminology with me. More so, do you want another AK in pool? But that's what it was like. Let's go play some pool. And I had to figure out, all right, who's winning the games? Did Riley lose the first two and then go Paul Newman and win three straight? And all of a sudden we got a verbal. That wasn't the case.
I do like the image of Mike Riley as the pool hustler, though.
So right? That's good. I think that's all right. But Riley, extremely excited about the recruiting element of Saturday.
Turn around.
He's pointing at Buki.
I am energized at this very, very moment about this weekend in total. It is so much fun. We are now seeing some of these young men really understand and see what this place is about and what it can be, and having a vision that I have. I am really pumped up about all this. It's a great feeling right now. These pieces, and like I said, it really has to do, I think, with the continued educating of these guys that are out there that are difference makers, that can feel it. They can feel this whole idea that we have of what's going to take place here.
So he's letting you in. You need it to materialize on the field. but you're trying to amp up off-field with talent. And then obviously you see the fit side of it offensively with a quarterback. Brandon Vogel with us here in studio. Vogue, you wrote about the recruiting strategy for the spring game, how it's paying off. You've seen commits the past 48 hours, 72 hours. But, I mean, putting a plan together, the work that went into that and then the execution's been impressive.
Yeah, it really has. You know, going into that first spring game, sort of the tired old joke question that you'd ask Mike Riley was, well, have you ever had a spring game with this many people, you know, because at Oregon State, of course,
you combine his 14 years at Oregon State and it doesn't equal the last three.
No, you're probably right. That's probably a pretty safe bet. But I think what he realized, and I think you can see this in how they've approached it, is once he had been there and been through a spring game, it kind of clicked that, oh, this is a major opportunity for us. Nebraska doesn't have a ton of recruiting advantages. You know, the facilities, the tradition, history, all that stuff. But you're just not close to recruits the way Clemson or Georgia or Auburn is. But one thing you can do is blow away 95% of the other schools in terms of the spring game experience. So the first year you have 15 visitors. That's what you can get basically 2 months. Probably really only 2 months of working on that class because you had to try and salvage the previous class. Next year, you get 24. This year, up to 40. Now, you're not going to just keep going up. Obviously, there's going to be a limit. Although, Alabama seems to have sort of limited supply in terms of guys that want to come to their spring game. But it's good because you just look at the conversion rate of those guys. 9 members of Nebraska's class last year were here for Nebraska's spring game. You got to get them on campus. And then you can start building a sort of in-person relationship, too. It's not just all sliding into a recruit's DMs at that point.
No, and you look at the conversion rate and the identification. They have about a year of courtship, it seems like, just kind of going down the line as to how you get a commitment at Nebraska. But I think what I've been impressed with is, I think the part of evaluation is what I've, and I'm going to stick with quarterbacks for a second because it's been Langsdorf to find O'Brien, who a year removed from his first few weeks on campus, hey, here's the spring game. A year later, he looks good. He's developed. He's been coached. He's getting better. Tanner Lee kind of comes in because I can go play at a high level at a place like Nebraska and get coached by two really good quarterback whisperers. And then there's Jebbia. That's kind of the cherry on top with this. And we'll get into quarterbacks more in about 30 minutes. But for him to do what he did as effectively as he did it at his age, that's Langsdorf evaluation.
Yep, and that's got to be huge at a place
and
like
Nebraska. That's your difference between 9-4. That's your difference between 62-3, Ohio State. That's your difference when it comes to Indianapolis, your first weekend in December. Who the hell do you have at quarterback?
Wisconsin evaluates pretty well. Say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Moore in Wednesday. Manny Allen tomorrow. If you missed Buki Radley-Hiles, we caught up with him at 4:25. That'll be on the podcast at HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, 10 minutes away. Brandon L. Vogel is moving away as I shake my pen at him. Aaron Sorensen in less than an hour on the recruiting weekend. And a word to you on your seatbelt. When you climb into that driver's seat, you start the car and the indicator goes on. Please use your seatbelt. If you don't, you're not the only one that suffers. Family, friends, coworkers suffer. If you're injured or killed in a crash, click it or ticket now. Reduce injuries, save lives, do so every day. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. All right, the new issue of Hail Varsity Magazine out tomorrow.
Yes, should be shipping out tomorrow, so you might find it on newsstands as early as tomorrow evening.
Okay, tomorrow evening, newsstands. I see the cover here. It's Herbie. with his arms crossed. It's a little bit of a Tecmo look.
Yep.
I like it.
Yep. You'll find that theme carried throughout the State of the Husker Nation poll feature within.
So how long, what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, the poll?
No, it wasn't quite that long. It was probably about 3.5 or 4 weeks mm-hmm. that it was open.
Because Hale Varsity started this question, came up with these questions, asked these questions online, and the Husker Nation fans answered and have spoken. You know the results. You can read the results in the latest Hale Varsity magazine that'll be on newsstands tomorrow. You can subscribe, halevarsity.com/subscribe. But, Vogues, I need a little fishing line in the water here. Tease. Because we're going to spend the next week talking about this. TG's like, yes. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I would say, you know, so you go from 6-7 to 9-4 last year. Good thing for the most part. But the way last season ended, you kind of felt, well, did Husker fans come away from this disappointed a little bit? I'll tell you, Mike Riley's approval rating is increased from last year, which may make sense based on the win total, but it is now currently at 90%. So
his win is
approval
ratings at 90%.
Yes. Yes.
When's the last time that happened? 1995?
Probably. Yeah, you probably had that for well, I don't know. When did that – what was it in 1993, I wonder?
I think in 92 you were like, hey, we beat the hell out of Colorado. We'll forget the Iowa State game. And it was only a 13-point loss to Florida State in the Orange Bowl. I didn't think that Nebraska – and you smoked Oklahoma on the road. So I think like 92 to 93, Nebraska fans were probably – I mean, I remember this as an eighth grade. It's like, okay – well, I don't see them winning or doing anything super special, but I think they'll be like top 10 good again. Okay? And then, yeah. Lo and behold, they go on a run and they lose by a field goal.
Well,
less than a field goal.
Yeah, the scale is always changing. It's always relative. I will say that one of the more interesting results in there, which I won't give away, but things are changing in terms of people's definition of success over the next 5 years. You might say conference titles. You might say division titles. You might say playoff appearances. One of those is the most popular. And you can see how it's changed over the last 3 years.
Well, I think Nebraska fans are so smart that they look at the Big Ten, who you're going against. What? It's no different. I mean, can you be in the game with Oklahoma, with Colorado, the old Big 8, Big 12 days? Can you beat Texas?
62-3 is tough to forget.
Yeah.
Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, being Wednesday. Brandon Vogel from Hale Varsity in studio. TJ Henning playing that piano, chiming in. Did a lot of yard work today. We had a chance to get caught up with Buki Radley Hiles in Hour 1. Good kid, tremendous athlete. We will welcome in Mr. Blackshirt, legendary Nebraska defensive coordinator. And you hear him on Monday. Mondays with Charlie, Coach McBride with us, brought to you by Emeritus. And don't be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied with financial concerns, Emeritus, they'll help you find focus. They protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, they protect your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. Emeritus keeping their promises for 130 years and counting. Proud to stand by Nebraska Athletics. Proud to bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how are we doing today?
Perfect.
Yeah?
Same. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just glad the sun came up. You know, that's how you do when you get to be an old man. You just kind of, as long as you wake up in the morning and see the sun out, whatever, it's good.
Well, sun was out shining on Nebraska this weekend. Wow. What a crowd, what an atmosphere, what a recruiting weekend. And there wasn't bad football either. What did you think of the spring game, Coach?
I really thought I was actually surprised. I've seen some of the other ones, that played earlier. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even close, as far as making something of it. There's some schools that, really don't do anything. I mean, they go and have half of a scrimmage, and then they have practice, and there's people there, and they're having a half of it's a practice. I mean, it's not even anything to really go see, almost. And I thought, the whole game, and even the way they prepared for it, the part that they did before the game and all that stuff, I thought was super, as far as, elevating the program. And I think that really helped the recruiting. I think a lot of those kids opened their eyes as to what Nebraska was.
Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, did you like the decision to play a four-man front, or would you have liked to have seen some of the 3-4?
Well, that's kind of what I was looking to see. But I understand what they're doing a little bit. But they're probably playing as a lot of the techniques they're going to be playing and alignments they're going to be playing, But the even front, somewhat of an even front, it was kind of what we used to call an underlook. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you have a new coach and you don't want to throw it all out in front of the world. And, which is smart. And after the first or second, third game, they're going to find out anyway. But I think early when you're playing a team like Oregon and stuff like that, I think kind of keeps some of the stuff under wraps is a good idea.
Hey, Coach McBride, even though they kept it pretty, extremely basic on that defensive side, did you come away with any takeaways from that spring game on that side of the ball?
Yeah, well, I thought that the front played a lot better, technique-wise and things than they did last year. I mean, you can tell the improvement that some of those kids have made. And I thought their effort was really good. I think, defensively, they've done a great job of getting those kids, ready to play. They played the whole game. It wasn't one of those things where, sometimes through a spring game it gets a little boring, but I think I think they did a great job of doing that. The staff looks like they've done a heck of a job with a new coach and everything that he showed enthusiasm and I really like the way he handled the players, and I think they really like him, and I think that's really important.
Charlie McBride, a few minutes with us here, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, a couple of guys I want to touch on, and I know it's the spring game and was pretty vanilla, but Luke Gifford, what he can do at the outside linebacker spot, a strip, a sack, he blew up a screen, and he did it with just one hand, huh?
That's what you get from walk-ons, right?
I think he might have been a scholarship. Was Gifford a scholarship guy? Or
I don't remember.
I think Gifford was a scholarship guy. He's a Lincoln Southeast guy, but I know what you're saying, though, a guy that's sensing the urgency of the moment.
I'll tell you what, you can tell in that game, when listening to the people that are announcing the game talk about, walk-on kids that are playing and, things like that. I think the coaching staff as a whole, except for maybe Perella, that hasn't been there, are realizing how important some walk-on kids are and how important the players in the state are. Mm-hmm. And I think this, within the last year, it's really opened their eyes to, some of the guys that are bringing, and when they turn around and look, a lot of those kids are, that are young are going to turn out to be big-time players.
Hey, Coach, one of Bob Diaco's, I guess, traits of his defenses at Notre Dame and to a little bit at UConn was their ability to prevent the big play. Now, obviously, no defense wants to give up 20 yards, in one shot. But I guess from a coaching perspective, if that's a focus for you, what does that look like?
I'll tell you, preventing a big play is a monumental thing. You know, it's we've had some years where we were really bad at it, and we had some years where we were really good at it. But that's one of the things. I think, you know, the philosophy is, I think when you go back to every defensive guy is trying to make them, the old saying, one-dimensional, and you start with stopping the run, and then you can tee off on people, and then you know they can't run the football. And in that case, too, you know, the you cut your big plays probably in half by not being able to run, as long as you can throw the kicking game and the passing game a little bit. But it looks to me like they got some depth back there at receivers. And, of course, when you come up with a new system linebacker-wise, and the underneath coverage is usually in 3-4 defense are the ones that are really critical, you know, as far as their drops, so on and so forth.
Coach, let's spend a minute or two on the offense. Coach Riley thinks that the team needs to grow but feels better than he initially did with the run game, and that goes back to trying to force an offense to be one-dimensional. Did you like what you saw with the run game, the offensive line, and let's go a step further, too. Did you like the quarterbacks? Kind of cover the offensive side for me.
Well, I think what they, you know, what they really did was is they really tried to get those backs some shots.
Yeah.
And they all performed. I didn't see one that didn't perform well, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, especially with the pass protection later in the end of the game, they let those quarterbacks let her throw them, you know, and they kind of separated up a little bit, so they got a lot of throwing at one point and more running toward the first part of the game. And then they started not experimenting by changing position, but different lines and a few guys thrown in that maybe haven't worked together as much, and just to try to get a feel of, you know, where everybody was coming from. But the quarterback situation is going to be, you know, tough duty. I'll tell you what, I think there's three of them, you know, that probably could play. And, you know, I've seen a lot of teams go through a season kind of with two quarterbacks. And I don't, you know, you can name one. But I still think when you go back to it, if one's having a tough time, the other one's going to go. And I mean, they're good enough to do it. And, you know, I think, I like both of them. And, you know, it's what I saw. That, you know, I thought both of them did really well. And, you know, you get, 10 throws in a game, and this guy goes 4-for-6 or 6-for-4 or 10 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that sometimes sounds good, and then you turn around and you see some guy that ends up not so good, and what happens, and I'm not talking about this game not particularly, but the guys that don't look so hot sometimes end up being your starting quarterbacks after the fall camp's over.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of work to be done this summer, and you know, I think retention of quarterbacks and how much they can handle the offense and so on and so forth, and what the offensive line can handle. So, you know, you got a lot of young guys, but I think it's, to me, being a coach, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. You know, you got coach written on your shirt, then show me, you know, and, so what you can prepare those kids to do is really going to be important over the summer and early in camp. And, of course, I always put it back on the players. I always blamed everything on the players anyway. But, you know, how they get along together is really important. Offensive lines, you know, have to, you know, really be buddies. I mean, it's a real team thing up there up front, and help each other. And, you know, like Coach said, if he ever gets too deep, you know, he's going to be – it'll be golden, and I think everybody feels that way. But I know at times I felt like, you know, I know on the defensive line I could have put the second team in and that wouldn't make any difference. Mm. You know, and I think that's sometimes what you're hoping with the offensive line. And I know anybody who was on the second team when I was coaching there, you wouldn't be afraid to see in the football game. I promise you, because they had two teams ready.
Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio Mondays with Charlie. Coach, had a chance to catch up with one of your former guys last week, Steve Warren. He's another kid you guys got out of Missouri. Of course, Grant's a Missouri kid. Rucker, a Missouri kid. There's a major, major emphasis on Kansas City, on St. Louis, on the state of Missouri in the 2018-2019 recruiting cycle. And I wanted a thought from you on being able to be relevant and kind of impactful in that state with Nebraska. You guys did it so well. You also played Missouri and smacked them around more times than not, home or away. It's been a long time since Nebraska and Missouri's played football. Can Nebraska still be strong in that state?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, when we were down there, we may not walk away with as many, but we'd walk away with the best ones, you know.
Yeah, you did.
And so, you know, it was one of those things. You know, you get people like Steve Warren and Grant Wistrom, and, you know, you're talking about big-time players. And, you know, and John Garrison was one. I recruited John. He was probably one of the last kids when I was coaching that I recruited. And, you know, there are some real kids that have made you know, Nebraska what it is. And if you can walk away with a couple of players out of there every year, and they're, you know, they're one of the top dogs, you know, you're doing pretty good. And I know that Tom Banderas, for example, I recruited Tom, and he was from a little town called Oak Grove, which I was sorry to know they had a kind of a tornado tore up that place this recently. But Tom was a guy that was, you know, from a small town in that state, and ended up, of course, he was really a good tight end, and probably could have played on defense and, you know, and stuff like that. But he was a guy that was really important to us. Everybody was recruiting him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you go in there and you look at the players that they've had, you know, from Grandview and Rockhurst and, you know, and stuff like that. And they're always going to produce, but you got to sneak around in the weeds once in a while because, you know, there's some kids down there that, you know, don't get the big press and everything. But, you know, you got to kind of dig around a little bit. And sometimes you can find some players that aren't being recruited by too many people that are really good players.
Well, it'll be an important state for Nebraska. Huge recruiting weekend, some verbal commits, and maybe some more to come. Blackshirt Charlie with us, Mondays with Charlie McBride, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, it was fun to get caught up. We'll talk to you next week. And keep watching that sun come up, all right?
I'll do it, and I hope I'm here.
So do we. Coach, okay. You take care.
It isn't that bad. Everything's good.
Well, good. Good,
okay,
good, good.
Good talking to you. Okay. You
take care, Coach.
Yep, bye now.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. I mean, that's what he is.
Yeah, one of my favorite guys to talk to. So.
He's the best.
Yep.
We get him every Monday at 5:06, Mondays with Charlie. No, and listen, he kind of laid out the Missouri angle, which is prevalent always, but it's really emphasized now. You touched on the just the offense and defense, how everything looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I love asking him about defense, because you get the sense that he's really still a football junkie. You know, some football coaches that get out of it and they're like, oh, I still love the game, but I'm not going to sit down and analyze what modern offenses are doing. You always feel like Charlie. He knows. Yeah.
Well, and the thing that's awesome about Coach, too, is it's not just defense, but the guy was an incredible offensive line coach before he got to Nebraska.
Yep.
So he knows both sides of the ball. Something fierce. We'll spend some time on them quarterbacks. Aaron Sorensen, 15 minutes away on your weekend recruiting. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
You know, they made the maybe not always the best throw, but the right throw. I don't know what the percentages were. It seems to me like it must have been pretty good. I think that it just looked like they, you know, when they had something, they made a throw and it completed it and it was okay. You know, we probably had a few too many drops. Otherwise, it would have even looked better. Especially, I think some guys dropped the ball on Tristan quite a bit. So
that they did. Mike Riley, quarterback efficiency. Let's dive into that deep end of the pool. With quarterbacks Chris Schmidt, Brandon Vogel, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Thanks to Blackshirt Charlie, Mondays with Charlie, Coach McBride. Buki Radley Hiles was with us an hour ago. And if you missed any part of that, HailVarsity.com or iTunes, we'll get to the podcast. The old Honda of Lincoln fan poll on HailVarsity.com. Which quarterback impresses you or impressed you the most in the spring game? I'm glad Andrew Bunch made the list. Bless your heart, Andrew. Jebbia Lee O'Brien, pour one, go. Barroom discussion.
Only one of those quarterbacks completed 10 of 14 passes, Andrew Bunch.
Yes, he did.
Best completion of the day.
Yeah. Thank you for shooting me down on that. I mean, you got Jebbia that was just tremendous. Let's talk about Tristan. Because, listen, your run game was better. Your defense didn't do anything to make you say, well, it should have been better, because they played just base. And it was about what you're going to get at quarterback. That's what you wondered after you finished your 13th red beer or your third red beer going into the stadium. What the hell's a quarterback play going to be like? Now, I know it's not Oregon. I know it's not whiskey. I know it's not them silver bullets. But you saw quarterbacks make throws, make completions, and you have depth at that spot. We're going to talk quarterbacks here. You can join us 466-377-6800-825-5865. What quarterback impressed you most, first off? Second of all, do you think this is a glimpse of maybe things to come? You want it to be, but do you believe it can be? As a Nebraska fan, are you going to be the team that has a quarterback that is a difference maker for you? And what's Jebbia going to do? Here's Coach Riley.
Right now, what he is headed for is what Patrick headed for a year ago. We would like to redshirt Tristan, but we only have four quarterbacks right at this time. So, you know, at this time, he would be that guy that would get some repetitions with our offense that's going to play in the games. He would ready himself to be the third string quarterback, and we would hope that he would not play. That would be our approach.
So it's a year of grooming. A year of grooming did wonders for two of your three quarterbacks. Jebbia, look how he came in. O'Brien, look how much different he was this year compared to last year. Let's go there, Vogel. And talk quarterbacks with Nebraska. Are you excited about what you have at Nebraska? And do you think Nebraska can get back into being not just a long-form elite place for quarterbacks, but in the short term, can these quarterbacks be a difference maker? Because you look at Clemson, you look at SC, you look at Penn State, you look at Ohio State. Who am I missing? Well, you look at LSU and the other end of things, what's kept them from being elite is quarterback play. I mean, Nebraska is in a better spot than most. I'm going to make that giant assumption, even off of a spring game. They're in a better position than most at quarterback moving forward, and these guys could be difference makers.
Yeah, absolutely. You sort of play things out in your mind, the sort of progression here. However you rank those three, 1, 2, 3, it seems to be there's pretty solid consensus. Like I said, you know, right now, it looks great. It looks like things are setting up perfectly. And I think part of the reason we've talked so much about that is, particularly with quarterbacks in this age, it rarely ever lines up that way, and it could always change. And this situation could still change, too. But you have this sort of nice progression. If Tanner Lee comes in and plays as well as, you know, some of his draft projections.
Plays third round good.
Yeah, if he plays third round good.
67% completion, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he has time. Let's just say that's what he grades out to doing.
Yeah, he probably plays one season then. I mean, he's already 22 years old. He'll be 23 years old by the next NFL draft. No one would begrudge him if he went to the NFL. Patrick O'Brien, he waits around.
Patrick could help him pack.
that he would. Something to be considered when it comes time to decision. You know, then that naturally leads you to Patrick. You'd have some competition from Tristan. But it just, it kind of sets up pretty nice. Now, again, it never totally works out that way. And you have a hard time counting on those things, particularly at quarterback. But right now is maybe as good as Nebraska's quarterback situation is going to look at any point over the next 2 or 3
years. Well, and it's spaced out. You have buffer room. And the message board section on HailVarsity.com, some good work by Erin Sorensen. We'll talk to her in about 10 minutes. Listen, there's a strong feeling because, okay, it's not if but when Tanner Lee gets named the starter, okay? They're going to probably take 10 days, 12 days to evaluate it and name it. All right, now your question shifts to Patrick O'Brien. Where's he going? Is he sticking? Because the world of quarterbacks, well, I'm a true freshman or I'm a redshirt freshman, and if I don't get to start by then, I take my ball and I go home. That's what happens in the world of quarterback play. It happens at West Virginia. It happens at Florida State. It happens at Oklahoma State. It happens at USC.
Happened at Alabama twice.
Happened at Alabama twice. Thank you.
Maybe just at Oregon with former Husker commit Terry Wilson.
Terry said, see ya. I'm getting the hell out of here. Hippies. So, what's Patrick O'Brien do next? And word that Hail Varsity's getting is that Patrick O'Brien's like, look, I put my soul into this thing. I'm not disappointed at what I've done. I'm not disappointed in the coaching I've received. I'm not disappointed in how fair things were set up either. I, right now, did not beat this guy out. I didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He maybe just did things better. There's just a different look to the offense, slightly, but different with him running it. So what do? I grind for another year. I grind for another year with two of the best quarterback people in America versus stomping off and going somewhere else and hitting reset and maybe getting an awful quarterback coach that'll just, yeah, think of Hackenberg. That's what's going through my mind. Hackenberg did nothing except get a coaching change. And he went from first round to, is the guy going to be worth a damn? And he ended up fourth round. Okay. When you leave, things can go negatively. You can go play. And what program am I going to go to? Am I going to go to a Power 5? Am I going to go to a place where I can start? There's 1,000 things going through his mind. And if I'm leaning from what I'm hearing, what Hail Varsity's hearing is, O'Brien, yeah, he wants to be the starter, but he ain't taking off. And to your point, Vogues, if Lee is for real, got a year. Got a year, and then you're off to the NFL. And then it's yours to lose and win if you're O'Brien. By the way, you're being pushed by a prodigy who sleeps in the film room. It's a great situation for Nebraska.
Yeah, and it's a great situation for a guy like O'Brien. Like, I mean, it's a totally fair and measured choice to do that. Because you also know that you're only one play away at any point over the 2017 season.
You're one play away from going in because, God forbid, you have an injury. You're also one play away or one series away or one bad game away from ineffectiveness from going in. It's going to make you got to be very careful about yanking a quarterback. But if it happens, you're a bad game or half away. Be supportive. Don't sabotage the old signals from the sideline, obviously. But there's still a lot there for you. You're number two for a reason. Again, it's not been officially named by Riley, but there's so many things that would keep you alert and ready from the bullpen, in my opinion.
But that scenario you guys brought up with Tanner Lee having that great season, maybe going to the third round, doesn't that seem like the best-case scenario? And
think of a better one, but yes.
Well, yeah, first round. But doesn't that seem like quite a big jump? Because, Vogues, I know you did a breakdown last summer about quarterbacks advancing through their freshman to senior year. I mean, you go from Tulane transfer to third-round NFL draft pick. That seems like quite a big jump.
Riley's half.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a theory at this point. And it's based a little bit on, well, some of the effusive praise from guys like Billy Devaney and fellow NFLers. But if that doesn't happen, and you just get O'Brien here for this year, and that's kind of the deal he's got working in his mind.
Lee or O'Brien?
O'Brien. Okay. You get him here for this year. You know, Tanner Lee has a good season, but he's coming back. Well, if O'Brien leaves then, you're still in a much better spot because Tristan Jebbia preserved a year. Now, yep. If he were to leave now, think about how bad that would be for Nebraska, mm-hmm. because then what do you do? The option of, I think, redshirting Jebbia at that point is off the table. It has to be.
Yeah. No, it completely is. It completely is, but it's been spaced out. It's been communicated. Guys have had a fair shot. And I love the fact that, listen, O'Brien and Lee both got to go kind of light at that. But how about the stones of Jebbia against the top two units? We'll just start throwing the pill around. Let's dump it off. Let's process things like we're playing the old Sega Madden, where you're hitting A, B, or C. I mean, that's the way I compare it. I equate it because that's how quick he was making reads.
Yeah, and you know, you can't really substitute anything for that mental development at this stage in his career. The line everyone always uses that I hate is he should be getting ready for prom, but it's true in this case.
Is this because you're not a prom guy?
Well, I had to go to four of them because
whoa,
I went to
let's flip this around.
It's, humble brag.
I wasn't home watching the Chicago Bulls 72 in season. It was I had to go to four because I'm Vogues and I'm the man.
No, it wasn't because I'm in demand. It's because I go to a small school where if you're going to throw a prom and you only invite the juniors and seniors, well, you get like 20 people. So you start going, you're a freshman.
You undersold yourself.
No, you oversold me.
I had to go to four ever since my freshman year. Listen, my junior prom, I went with a senior. She liked to eat, but you know, I mean, besides that point, it was a lot of fun that night.
I'm not to have
made
that fond,
you uncomfortable.
That fond,
I'm sorry.
That fond of memories of my proms.
It was great. Senior prom, I went with my wife. That was a travesty. Couldn't go anywhere, no after parties. It was lame. Okay, thanks for that. We brought up prom, and we've equated it to quarterbacks. Everyone finished in the running here of homecoming queen. Aaron Sorensen up next on Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Moore probably putting for dough right now. Brandon Vogel in studio, TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Aaron Sorensen, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Please read her story and sit down with Buki Radley Hiles on HailVarsity.com. It's premium, which means it's incredible. You can sign up now, 30-day free trial, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. We'll talk recruiting with Aaron now. Aaron, great weekend. How you doing?
I'm good. What a weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, anyone else on the old line? Wow. I mean, Nebraska did tremendous. I want to get your reaction to the recruiting weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I think back on what I told you on Friday, and, like, I wasn't necessarily wrong, but I was, like, I was pleasantly surprised by the way things shaped up because when we talked on Friday, at that time, the intention with Buki was he was not going to commit until his brother's birthday, which was later in the summer. And when I talked with him on Saturday about what sort of changed, he'd gotten to a point where he still really wanted to honor his brother, but he also was very clear that, like, he wanted to be at Nebraska. He wanted to start building his class. The timing was just right. And so it made sense for him, with the help of his mom, to just make that decision while he was in Lincoln. And kind of listening to your interview with him as well, you know, he'd been planning that video, and so he knew he was moving the time frame up. He just hadn't really alerted anyone else to it yet. So, I mean, what a way to start, kick that whole thing off. And then just everyone that followed, the fact that Nebraska now has its first commitment for the 2019 class, I mean, they just rocked and rolled over the weekend. And from what I hear, there's going to be quite a few more that are going to be commit, maybe not necessarily right now, but in the coming weeks and through the summer as we get closer to fall as a result of the spring game.
Hi, Aaron, you've talked to a handful of these recruits that were at the spring game, 5, 6, 7 of them at this point. Was there anything that sort of stuck out as a theme from this latest recruiting, I guess, extravaganza that Nebraska puts on now every spring?
Yeah, the word that kept coming up, and I challenge people, so if you're not a Hail Varsity Premium subscriber, like Chris said, go subscribe, get your 30 days, because you'll see this theme. And it's the same theme I heard a lot last year, but it's even more prominent now, is family. And it comes up unprompted. It's almost without any prompt, like I said, from myself, as I'm talking to these athletes about, you know, what was it about Nebraska? What really sold you on the Huskers? They say family over and over, that the fans make them feel like family, the team, the coaches. They're quite literally bringing their families to this. You've got Buki and Tyjon Lindsey, who are family. You look at the roster, how many cousins and brothers you have on this team. So it's like, at a literal standpoint, they're also family. But they feel so embraced. They feel so loved. And I think they see such an opportunity at Nebraska to take that family environment and turn it into something much bigger. And that was the word that just kept coming up, with family, time and time again. And I know for a fact, as I continue to talk to these 2018, 19, even 2020 guys and ask them about that, I have a gut feeling that word is going to continue coming up.
Family is important, and I mean, Buki said it to you and me that, you know, Nebraska's family, the fans, you're family mm-hmm. now, and that is impressive. The really overwhelmed with just the response is kind of how he described how he felt. What do you have a theory on? And there's not been a definition given by Coach Riley, but he has sure used the term vision, plan. Those words, and he did it in his post game a couple of different times with that giant smile on his face with how the spring wrapped up, not only just on the field, but also in the living room or the players' lounge when him and D are playing pool with these kids.
Yeah, you know, when he talks about vision, I think all along we've known that there's some areas where, from the day that Mike Riley walked in, he had a vision for the type of quarterback he wanted, because the type of offense he wanted to run with Langsdorf. And he had a vision, obviously, moving to a 3-4 with Bob Diaco. He had that vision. He even said when, you know, Diaco had his press conference, that this was the direction that he had been wanting to go for Nebraska. And I think the bigger piece in all of this is, and I you know, kind of teasing a little bit of the next issue of the magazine, but Brandon had said this in his letter to fans, is that, you know, polls are going to say one, or, you know, when you look at the data and you look at the polls, they're going to say one thing about Nebraska because they're looking at returning seniors. They're looking at the numbers and the on-field production and so on and so forth. But the one thing that Nebraska fans see is the relationships, the family atmosphere we talked about, the drive and the passion. So, like, I even talked a little bit about this today on our premium boards, that somebody I know that close to the situation said, you are now going to get a better Tyjon Lindsey because of Buki. So, I mean, I think what I'm seeing as far as a vision for Mike Riley and the staff is they are building something. What they are trying to do is build something bigger than what is seen on the field. They're building those off the field relationships, like playing pool in the players lounge. I mean, even when I checked in with Will Farniak to see how his weekend went, he was still in the players' lounge. I mean, it is just amazing. Like, they don't want to leave. They want to just be at Nebraska. And if I'm Mike Riley and you have a vision of what you want on the field, that off-the-field behavior and relationships are going to ultimately help what you're trying to now do on the field.
I think it's pretty obvious to most. I think everyone agrees, I guess, is a better way to put it. Nebraska's recruiting profile is rising. They're, you know, up to 10th in some of these team rankings that are out there. Adidas's profile is also rising. This may sound like a silly question, but, you know, when you look at Kanye West, Pharrell, a bunch of
Brandon Vogel's sweet blue kicks,
a bunch of shoes that everybody wants that nobody can get. What's Adidas's role in this recruiting for Nebraska? Do you think it plays a factor in this, Aaron?
Well, you know, I think if you got a recruiting issue, I know, Brandon, you did, but for those listening, if you had a recruiting issue, we did a quote section, and one of my favorite quotes was from Keyshawn Johnson Jr., and he made a comment to me when I, and it didn't fit in my story with him, so that's why I went into the quote section about how it's not like he would go to a school that was Under Armour or something like that. And if I could convey how he said that to me, it was very much like, I would never go to an Under Armour school.
So I wouldn't drive to school in something like that.
Right. You could tell it meant to him to be, well, one, his dad has been an Adidas guy forever. But the one thing that Adidas has done is, and when we're talking about, you know, Nebraska's contract being up with Adidas and more than likely re-signing, it's because Adidas has made that Nebraska priority, but also their star is really rising right now to the point that they had three representatives at the game on Saturday just to be present. They, you know, they had gotten Buki hooked up in that custom Nebraska baseball jersey that matched what they wore against Iowa this weekend over at Haymarket Park. I mean, they're looking around the sidelines looking at the shoes. They want these kids, and they want the fans and their gear. And I think as you're starting to see Yeezys and the Boost, any shoes with Boost on the bottom, which are the most comfortable shoes, I can vouch for it. They are building something more than just athletic wear. They're building a brand that is like, you want to be in the cool club, and that is sort of where Adidas has positioned themselves. So you looked at a lot of these recruits, and willingly they were wearing Adidas. And when Nebraska is an Adidas school, I know it sounds corny to say it, but I can't get away from the fact that there's probably a tie-in with that. I mean, you know, I think about the stuff I like, and if you can go somewhere where they're going to supply you with the clothes and the brands that you like, and if you're looking for that little edge, maybe that will push you over the top. So,
Aaron, hang on the line real quick.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Aaron Sorensen, kind enough to hang through the break. Aaron, about 60 seconds here. Just recap your thought on Adidas and it being a major player and influencer in Nebraska for recruits.
Yeah, I just think what we are seeing is we're just seeing a change in sort of how recruits, when they're looking for their, like they all bring lists and they're looking for good academics, good this, good tradition, et cetera. For a lot of them, that is one of them. They're looking for a brand. And, you know, you're thinking of these kids, like, what do they want to wear? What they want to be seen in? You look at Instagram, it's all about showing off your shoes and your cool outfits and everything else. So Adidas has kind of tapped into that market and found a way to make themselves really relatable and cool with those younger kids. And you know what? That's the right market because they're going to follow them now for a long time in their life. So they're putting that investment into Nebraska, and these kids clearly like it. And I mean, you saw how many of them, Brandon, I saw, they're all in their shoes, they're all in their jerseys. Adidas has found their niche, and they're just killing it as a result.
It's awesome. You're killing it with recruiting and reaction coverage. HailVarsity.com and magazine, Aaron Sorensen, at Aaron Sorensen. Aaron, we'll get caught up again. Thanks so much. Great weekend. I appreciate it.
You bet. Stay tuned. Even more recruiting stuff on the website.
Awesome, awesome. And Aaron will have some of that inside info for you on HailVarsity.com. Go see your friends Rick and the gang at Sauterhamen. You're talking about like Pure Boost shoes. How about Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Sauterhamen. Now, they're real diamonds. They're grown in a lab. They're not mined from the earth. What's that mean to you? Well, they're still beautiful. They're eco-friendly. And Pure Grown Diamonds, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See how beautiful they are. See how wonderful they are. And go see why they're the biggest and best sellers with Sauterhamen and their history. Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. Sauterhamen, see Rick and the gang, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln. South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. If you're heading west, go see your friends at Sauterhamen in Grand Island, Sauterhamen.com. Brandon Vogel, you're rocking, man. I appreciate you being in studio today. Thoughts on the spring game, applying it to why there's so much optimism. State of Husker Nation poll gets out tomorrow with Hail Varsity. in the magazine. You can see it online. If you missed Buki Radley Hiles, we had a chance to talk with him in hour one. If you missed Coach McBride, that was hour two. Aaron Sorensen kind of recapped the Hail Varsity recruiting weekend. So what I'm telling you is if you're just getting home from work and you missed us, can log on hailvarsity.com and go to the radio tab, go to iTunes, go to the ESPN 1480 app. Bogues, are we going to go get some wings?
I think we will.
We're going to go eat some wings. TJ, we're going to eat some wings.
I'm a maybe.
Yeah, I wasn't inviting you. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. I love you, TJ. All right. Thanks to you for tuning in. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.